Yesterday we were looking at the book of 1 John. We were kind of touching on 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, and looking at how the test of faith is love. If we move on to the next chapter in 1 John chapter 4, I want to read just from verses 7 down through verse 14. And if we have time, we'll even look a little bit further. But there's just some great truths that are there for our lives, just about love, and continue with that thought of love. Now, again, yesterday we established that the test of faith is love. So love is an important part of who we are and how we carry out our daily Christian walk, our daily walk with the Lord. Now, if we go to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love springs from God, and he who loves his fellow man is begotten of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him." So this whole section starts off by letting us know that, again, on that topic, on that focus of love, and saying that all love originates, any love that we have, anything that we do that demonstrates love, when we talk about loving someone else, when we do an act that demonstrates love, that's all originating from Jesus Christ. That all originates from heavenly places. That's not in us. That is evidence of God, because God is love. That is evidence of God working through you. If you've ever said to yourself, you know, I just don't ever feel like God works through me, anytime that you have done a totally unselfish act of God, that is evidence of God that is in you working through you, because that is contrary to the flesh. It's contrary to the natural man. It says, "Blessed, our beloved, let us love one another." So the commitment is that we are supposed to love one another. In other words, we're supposed to take that same love that has been demonstrated to us, that love that God the Father said, "You are destroyed unless I intervene. Your sin has destroyed you, but here I'm going to make the greatest sacrifice. I'm going to send my greatest love, Jesus Christ, and he is going to die for you and rise again as the perfect sacrifice to atone for all of your sins, that you can then once again have right relationship with me, and that you can once again have that personal, intimate relationship with me, and that you can boldly come to me." Okay, that's the demonstrations of love that he has shown us. Well, that's the kind of heart and attitude we're supposed to have towards those around us as well. Let us love one another. That means we're supposed to be making those kind of sacrifices for those around us. You know, the true love of Jesus Christ in our hearts is not measured by the words that we say. It's not measured by the simple fact that in theory, we know we should do those things. The true measure of love is demonstrated by what are the sacrifices that you make, and how many times in your life are you, rather than thinking about how something affects you, instead you're giving priority, you're giving the first thought, the first concern, the first actions towards helping someone else. It's that whole Philippians chapter 2, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all things, considering others better than yourselves. The true measure of love is when you consider those people around you as better than yourselves, as the priority, not yourself. Again, that goes against the flesh. Let us love. Love springs from God. That's where it originates. And he who loves his fellow men, this is evidence. As we love those around us, it's evidence, and it should be evidence to us, of God, of being born of God. And it's evidence to us that we are progressing. You know, the more that you feel, and you know what it feels like? You know what it feels like when you make a sacrifice, and nobody else knows but you and God, but you made a sacrifice of yourself. You sacrificed for someone else's benefit. No one knows but you and God. There's nothing that feels like that. And that's what this is talking about here in verse number 7. It's that progressively getting to know and understand God. You know, it's when you make that selfless sacrifice for someone else and only you and God know that you did it. It's that feeling of euphoria that you get, that feeling of total peace, that feeling of just fulfillment that you cannot get from anything else. It's when you feel that, hey, that's evidence that you know that you are progressively getting to know God. You are feeling the heart of God in you when you make those kinds of sacrifices. That feeling of euphoria that you get at that moment, man, that is just being one with God, and you are feeling his heart, because that is his love tangibly moving through you and demonstrated through you. That is progressively understanding. You know, we say that, man, we just can't know the mind of God. We can't possibly know the mind of God. The more you act in love, the more that you act in love towards others, selflessly sacrificing and giving of yourself, making others a priority, the more you are progressively getting to know and understand God. It says in the Amplified to perceive and recognize and get a better and a clearer knowledge of Him. You want to know God? You feel like you don't know God? Do you feel like God is a mystery in your life? Do you feel like you could never really understand? And you do feel like, I just don't understand God. I don't understand why He does this. How many times have you read through the Word and you said to yourself, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. When I read it, it doesn't make sense. It can. But it all originates with this, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. It's the loving of those around us. Because it's when we love others, that's when God is flowing through us. And when God is flowing through us, because that kind of love doesn't come from yourself. That is evidence of God in you and you turning your heart and your life over. You're seeking after Him. And what happens is when that love is flowing through you, you are getting a perception and understanding. You are reaching into the mind of God and you are getting an understanding that you could not otherwise get. You will understand more about God, more about the Word. You will understand more about His heart and His desires. You will understand more about His love for you and why He loves you even though you're unlovable. You will understand things that you never understood before. Even things of the world will make more sense to you. Things that didn't make sense. You will progressively begin to understand more and more about God. The knowledge of your Father, the wisdom and the love of your Father, all things concerning Him as you walk in that love. Hey, listen, if you want that kind of understanding of God the Father, if you want that kind of knowledge of Him, if you want that kind of intimacy, it originates and it's sparked by and accelerated and progressively increasing as you allow that love, that self-sacrificing love, to flow through you. But just look around you today at people that you know. Look around you at the lives of the people that you know. How many of them could be blessed by just a self-sacrifice? And it can be nothing more than just getting down on your face and intervening for that person in prayer. Fervently standing in the gap for that person, passionately as though it was your own life and your own needs. It can be tangible things as well. But as you're making other people of more import than yourself, that's the love of God. That is not you. That is not you. That is the love of God. When you feel that kind of love that you have said, have you ever felt this? You just all of a sudden feel this overwhelming love and compassion for someone. It just comes out of nowhere. And you think, wow, where did that come from? That's God. That is the evidence of God in your life. That's a great time. That's a great feeling. Recognize it. Know what it is. Relish it. Embrace it and seek to have it more. That's a good verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God. And he who loves his fellow man is begotten of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. I love it when that fog clears and I start to understand some things. If you desire that today, start looking for ways to allow that self-sacrificing love, that all-encompassing, compassionate love, to be demonstrated, not just to those who deserve it, not just to those who have done right by you, but to all people that you come across, and certainly to all your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Even if they have hurt you or done you wrong or failed you in somehow, you pour that love out and you will. And I'll tell you what, you'll get a greater comprehension, understanding of and knowledge, clear understanding picture of God and knowledge of him and his thoughts and his minds when you are pouring out that love to someone who doesn't deserve it, because that's what God does for you and I. All right, verse number 8. And he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. God is love. God is love. I love this verse. This is just one of my favorite verses because it makes it clear that love is not something that God does. Love is not something that God specializes in. Love is not something that, hey, nobody better demonstrates love than God. No, it says that God is love. God is love. If you understand love, then you are understanding God. It is who He is. There is no love outside of God. It's not something that He just, you know, developed and demonstrates better than anybody else. It is what He is. It is His nature. It is what He is. It is what He is, and it's what He pours out to you. See, we think of God all the time as being someone who's standing by with his checklist, ready to make a stroke in the column of bad under the name of Todd because, you know, I goofed up again or I somehow fell short, and He's waiting to strike that off so He can add that to my account. That's not God at all. God is love. God is love. Think about love. What does it mean when you think about love? When you think about your children and the love you have for them, what does that mean? You would do anything, anything for them, make any sacrifice. How about your spouse? You would do anything for them. That's the kind of love that's being talked about. Well, that's not being talked about. That's the kind of love that is God. And it's even more than that. Because those examples I just gave you, those still have the frailty of the human thoughts and the human minds and the human heart in it. There's none of that in God. But that is a taste of the understanding of what He is. God is love. Verse number 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest or displayed where we're concerned, in that God sent His Son, the only begotten, unique Son, into the world so that we might live through Him. Again, this is that tangible demonstration of what God did, as we talked about earlier. Verse number 10. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, or that's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. There is no greater demonstration of God of love and God's love. There is no greater demonstration than the act that He did in sending Jesus Christ, His own Son, to become flesh, to endure all that this life had. And then the sufferings, the cross, the separation from God, the Father, for 3 days, and then the resurrection and the victory. Boy, He endured all of that. He gave His Son for you and I. Beloved, this is verse number 11, if God loved us so very much, we also ought to love one another. When you think about the fact that God loved you so much, because what this is saying is God loves you so much. You are so important to Him. You are so important to Him. And He desperately loves you so much that He would have given. He did. Had it been only for you, He would have given Jesus Christ as that sacrifice. And Jesus, out of His love for you, would have endured all the pain, all the torments, all the agonies in the flesh, in the body that He did. But even of more significance, He would have endured the worst thing that He endured was that separation from God when He took your sins and my sins and the world's sins, but He took your sins because He loves you. And He'd have done all that if only to cover your sins. That's what He would have done. You know, if we understand that's the love that God has for us, my goodness. How can we be so selfish in our own thinking, in our own thoughts, in how we live our own lives? Which is always to better ourselves, which is always to advance ourselves, which is always to meet the needs that we have, rather than following the example of God and the Son Jesus. And giving your best, giving your most, giving your all to benefit somebody else. You see, that's what love truly is. And it's when you can do that, that's when you are truly understanding the heart of God. Verse number 12, no man has at any time yet seen God. But if we love one another, God abides, lives in, and remains in us. If we love one another, it says that God is dwelling in you. It's when we are loving that you will feel that love, as we talked about a few moments ago, in such vital and significant ways. In His love, let me backtrack on that. No man has ever at any time yet seen God, but if we love one another, God abides, lives, and remains in us. And His love, that love which is essentially His, is brought to completion, to its full maturity, run its full course, and is perfected in us. So what is it that makes His love come to maturity? What is it that fulfills it? What is it that brings it to perfection? It's when we demonstrate that love to others. And that's why that feels unlike anything else you've ever experienced in your life. When you and only you and God know that you've made a sacrifice for someone else just out of love, Christ-like love, that kind of love that God is. It's when you do that that his love is perfected, and that's why it feels unlike anything else. Because it is full, it's run its full course, it's perfected in us, it is fully mature when we do it. The love of God is not fully mature until we are involved. That's the way he's established it and set it up. His love is not fully mature until we demonstrate, until it flows through us and touches other lives. All right, I want to wrap up with this in verse number 13. By this we know, we come to know, perceive and recognize and understand that we abide, live and remain in him. And he is in us because he has given us, imparted to us his Holy Spirit. Listen, you and I may say to ourselves, you know, I hear what you're saying about love. I understand it. I just can't do it. It's impossible for me to do that. I've tried. I cannot do that. I always come back to self. I always wind up thinking of myself first. I want to do that. I want God's love to be perfected, fully mature, run its full course in me. I want that. I just can't do it. I've tried. I can't do it. Yes, you can. And he tells you that right here. Verse number 13, by this we come to know, to perceive and recognize and understand that we abide, we live and remain in him. He is in us because he has given us, imparted to us the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, when you said, I accept that great sacrifice that you made on my behalf, I accept that demonstration of love that I don't deserve, I accept it, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwelled in you. Your spirit was regenerated, made alive, made whole, made pure, and it still remains so because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And when you say, I can't do something, what you're saying is the Holy Spirit has no power in you. It's a choice that you have to make because the Holy Spirit is always working, always, always present to advance you, to empower you and to strengthen you to do the things of the Word, to do the things that God has called you to do the things that are impossible to do by yourself. But the Holy Spirit is in you to do. You know, we all know the Galatians chapter 5 and the fruits of the Spirit. We are all familiar with the fruits of the Spirit. And yet here's the thing. I think a lot of us overlook or forget exactly how the fruits of the Spirit go. Because it makes it clear. These are the fruits of the Spirit. What's the first thing? I mean, the list goes love, peace, joy. Got to see if I can remember these. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit. What's the first thing that's listed? These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are in you. What's the first thing that's listed? Love. So when you say that it's impossible for me, I've tried, but I can't. I say the Holy Spirit is in you. And that's what God says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 13. I've given you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. What's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Number one fruit of the Holy Spirit, love. You do have that ability to do that. And you know what? I tell you this. As you spend the time and you make the efforts, as you make the efforts to allow the Holy Spirit to empower you and to move through you so you can have that kind of love and you can enjoy the fulfillment that comes from his love being matured and fully complete in you, perfected in you because it flows through you and touches other lives. When you do that, and you can, in the Holy Spirit, you're going to better know and understand who God is. You will come to understand him more. And the more you understand God, the more you perceive him, the more you're going to be drawn towards him, and the more he's going to flow through you, and you're going to see the power of his victories in your life, and you're going to see the power moving through you to touch and change the lives of people around you. And what could be a better course for your life? Father, we thank you and praise you.